From Austin, live music capital of the world, this is Texas Music Matters. I'm David Brown. From Buddy Holly to Terry Allen to Natalie Maines and way beyond, Lubbock has left an oversized mark on American music. But many of the city's most famous artists had to get out of Lubbock to find their voices. This hour, longtime Flatlander Joe Ely asked the question, is there life after Lubbock? Also, Lyle Lovett and Robert Earl Keen caught live in Studio 1A, offering a definitive version of the legendary front porch story. Plus, Warren Hood takes a sharp musical turn with an assist from Emily Gimble. New music by The Boxing Lesson. Also, Brazos, the week's music news, and the usual assortment of surprises. Texas Music Matters gets underway in just a moment. Stay with us.
Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
From Austin, live music capital of the world, this is Texas Music Matters. I'm David Brown. We like to start off each week with new music, and this week, it's something of an extra special surprise. When we received the new album by the Warren Hood Band, I guess we were expecting a bit more of the world-class, bluegrass-infused folk and country music that Warren's so well known for. The son of one of the most beloved fiddle players in Austin music history, the late Champ Hood, Warren Hood long ago stepped out of his father's shadow, establishing himself as an important and accomplished musician in his own right. But his band's new record, produced by Charlie Sexton, takes him in an entirely new direction.
I'm Willie Pipkin. I play guitar with the Warren Hood Band.
I'm Emily Gimble, and I sing and play piano with the Warren Hood Band.
I am Warren Hood. Everybody in the band plays in several other bands, and so I guess I've started playing with Willie in the South Austin Jug Band when I was in high school, and been playing with him ever since. Willie plays in several bands, including a couple bands with Emily Gimble, and so it just kind of worked out. Well, Emily's grandpa, Johnny Gimble, is one of my all-time heroes, if not my all-time hero of the fiddle, and I've transcribed several Johnny Gimble solos. Johnny! I had first seen Emily sing, though, when I went to go see her grandpa when I was probably 17 or so, and they were playing at Wero's.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know her then, but heard her sing, and always stood out to me as someone I'd want to work with at some point.
That must have been when I first was starting to play piano.
She was terrified of the piano.
I was.
Her grandpa would make her play solos, and the whole time she was playing, she'd make these faces like something smelled really bad.
She still makes those faces.
Right. And, just years of doing it, she's gotten really good, and I can honestly say she's one of my favorite keyboard players in town.
Oh, that's sweet. I've never felt like I had to step out of a shadow or anything, because my family's always just been so supportive of me playing music. So
we're also doing music that's quite different from, I guess, where we came from. But we still keep a part of that with us. And in fact, when we first started playing together, there was a lot more swing. And I think some of the swing dancers that used to come out to the shows might not come out as much, because we don't play as much of that. But I think folks in Austin are more open to us jumping from genre to genre, whereas I find sometimes when I go to the South where they're expecting country, they kind of look at us funny. We might win them over by the end, but for a good half the set, they seem to be a little confused. Charlie Sexton produced the record, and I really hear his stamp all over it. He did a really great job. He did exactly what I asked him to do, which was to take these songs that I had written, some of them co-written with Willie Pipkin right here in the studio, and took them from us sounding like, you know, a bar band, and really helped arrange them in a way that, you know, I can't see going back to playing them the way we did before he got a hold of us and kind of sculpted us into what you hear on the record. We're still writing and creating and searching for whatever our sound will ultimately be, and it just kind of, you know, this record is this record, but the next one might be a Western Swing record. You just don't know. Or we can just make one for fun, you know? Fiddling around and Emily singing, that'd be great.
Where Have You Gone? Emily Gimbel, granddaughter of the great Johnny Gimbel on vocals, a knockout track from a knockout self-titled album by the Warren Hood Band. in our spotlight this week on Texas Music Matters. You know the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger? Well, consider this. More than a decade ago, a band was formed in Los Angeles called The Boxing Lesson. As the years progressed and after a move to Texas, The Boxing Lesson began to win rave reviews in international music magazines and favorable comparisons to Pink Floyd and David Bowie, among others. 5 years ago, any most likely to succeed list, among Austin-based bands, likely would have included The Boxing Lesson. And then, suddenly, everything started to unravel. The long-anticipated follow-up to the band's Wild Streaks and Windy Days was canned in the wake of a string of bad news. But after a long slog back and some notable personnel changes, as you're about to hear, The Boxing Lesson is back, stronger than ever.
I'm Jalen Davidson. I play keyboards in The Boxing Lesson.
I'm Ben Redman. I play drums in The Boxing Lesson.
And I'm Paul Wachlowski. I play guitar and sing in The Boxing Lesson.
Let's just get something out of the way. There are two adult voices, I suppose you could say, deeper, more resonant voices. We have to deal with this up front. And Ben, you're considerably younger than your colleagues in the band. You're nodding your head. How old are you?
I am 14.
You're 14 years old. This is quite a leap for you. You were in or are in Residual Kid as well here in Austin. And how did you get hooked up with these guys?
Well, we had been playing a few shows, and their drummer had left, and we were supposed to play this Texas tour with them, and they posted a post on Craigslist, and I, like, replied, and I guess I got the gig.
Got the gig. Wow. So what were you looking for in a drummer, guys?
I wanted a drummer with no money problems.
So you had to find a 14-year-old.
And you just wanted to play drums.
I wanted someone who would play from the heart and wasn't doing it for, you know, the paycheck each time.
Right.
Like, a lot of drummers are like session guys.
Well, this guy already has quite the reputation. Ben is a terrific drummer, and the most recent Residual Kid album is just jam-packed with energy, and he has no credit or money issues either, and so that's so welcome to The Boxing Lesson. Let's talk a little bit about this album, which I guess was sort of the new album, by the way, by The Boxing Lesson, is called Big Hits. Mm-hmm. This is an aspirational thing. This is something that you're aiming for. You want the big hits or no?
Well, we realized in the past that every album name is a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And Wild Streaks and Windy Days, our album in 2008, really led us into some Wild Streaks and Windy Days.
Absolutely.
And we were never finishing the album, and we were on tour. I remember we were in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Jalen said to me,
big hit record, you know?
Like, you know, big star did the number one hit record.
Number one hit record.
Raspberries had a song called Big Hit Record, or Overnight Sensation, I think is the actual name of the song.
We were just joking with it. Yeah. And
it just kind of stuck, and we just thought it was the perfect metaphor with boxing, the big hits. We had never really brought our name together with the music before, and with our more punchy, rocky sound on this album, we just thought it was the perfect album name.
Let's rewind the tape, if we can, to 5 years or so ago. And at that time, I think you guys were working on an album. You had a lot of buzz built up behind The Boxing Lesson. And it seemed like, if you'll forgive me, your world started kind of coming apart. I mean, what
it started
happened?
Crumbling. It started with our ex-drummer getting incarcerated, our really good friend. And it went on to some problems with management. Just like classic, you know, rock and roll band stories.
Car
like,
crash involved
car somewhere. Crash, then like the year later. And it was just like it just was kind of a downward spiral while the music kind of was on an upward ramp. So it took us a couple years to get you know, what was happening in our personal lives in line with this music we were creating that we were really proud of.
And so now you have the album Big Hits.
The album's out. It feels so good.
It must. I mean, finally release. But I think what's maybe most interesting about this album is
how rock and roll it is.
Oh, I mean, it's rock and roll.
There's a lot of energy on it, and I wonder why the turn from something that was a little bit more indie and, I don't know, techno sort of influenced.
We wanted to make a rock record. In our personal lives, we were listening to more rock music. And when we got introduced with Frenchie Smith, it seemed like the perfect combination for our new kind of concept. We really wanted to rock. We were sick of bands not rocking.
Did Frenchie Smith bring a lot to
Brought a lot out of us. I think I found my voice for the first time working with him.
He just brings so much out of you and makes you... makes you want to be awesome. Like you want to impress Frenchie.
Well, congratulations. This is a really fun album, and we are really excited to get to play it on Texas Music Matters. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Some psychedelic space rock by The Boxing Lesson. Their new album, Big Hits, is the band's first in 5 years and perhaps their best so far. The notes on the disc say, play loudly, do not shuffle. Sound advice. Coming up, Houston's Robert Ellis live, a conversation with Brazos, the week's music news, and more as Texas Music Matters continues.
From Austin, I'm David Brown, and this is Texas Music Matters.
I'm Gary Hartman with the Center for Texas Music History at Texas State University in San Marcos. This week in Texas Music History, we'll learn about the first and only four-way hit songwriter. Mickey Newberry was born on May 19, 1940 in Houston. He began his musical career while working on shrimp boats along the Gulf Coast. In the early 1960s, Newberry moved to Nashville and joined a new generation of young Texas songwriters that included Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson. In 1968, Newberry became the first and only songwriter to have number one hits in four different musical genres at the same time. Dozens of artists have recorded Mickey Newberry's songs, including Andy Williams, Eddie Arnold, Solomon Burke, and The First Edition, featuring a young vocalist from Houston named Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
Mickey Newberry moved to Oregon in the mid-1970s, where he continued to write songs until his death in 2002. In 2008, he was inducted into the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame. This Week in Texas Music History is made possible in part with support from Humanities Texas. I'm Gary Hartman.
With the Week in Local Music News, I'm Peter Mongelo of the Austin American Statesman, and this is the Austin Music Source. To celebrate its upcoming 40th year, Austin City Limits will debut a new way to mark its history, a Hall of Fame. The Hall, which is planned for 2014, was introduced at last week's tribute to Lloyd Maines featuring the Dixie Chicks and others. KLRU CEO Bill Stotesbury said this week that the long-running show is still ironing out the details, but look for an annual concert celebrating the inductees. Hip-hop producer Timbaland has invested in an Austin-based company responsible for a music production app. The app is called StageLight, and it allows users to produce their own songs, track by track. The goal of the app, created by software company Open Labs, is to allow users to make music in 10 minutes or less.
One, two, three, four!
Alejandro Escovedo and Rosie Flores are teaming up next week to help pay down late musician Nick Curran's medical debt. Curran died last year after a long battle with cancer. He was an award-winning guitar player and prolific songwriter. The event is set for next Tuesday night at the Continental Club. Donations will be accepted at the door. For these stories and more, visit austin360.com. From the studios of Texas Music Matters, I'm Peter Mongelo of the Austin American Statesman.
Well, I got the lover that thrilled me so. You know, she knows how to rock and roll. She's a tough lover, yeah, yeah. She's a tough lover, woo. She's a tough lover, yeah, yeah. Tough lover, uh-huh. And when she kisses me, I get a thrill. And when she does that wiggle, I can't keep still. She's a tough lover, yeah, yeah. She's a tough lover, woo. She's a tough lover, yeah, yeah. Tough lover, uh-huh. Seven sisters got nothing on. Jesse James's blue suede shoes. She's a tough lover, yeah, yeah. She's a tough lover, woo. She's a tough lover, yeah, yeah. Tough lover. She's a love lover, yeah, yeah. She's a love lover, woo.
Nick Curran. Incredible stuff. Neil Young was sporting a Nick Curran cap when he played ACL Fest a while back. Don't forget about the benefit to help retire Curran's medical debt. It's going to be at the Continental Club in Austin Tuesday night with Alejandro Escovedo, Rosie Flores, and lots more. And you might even be able to snag your own Nick Curran swag just like the rock stars wear. Austin's reputation as a magnet for musicians overshadows a somewhat less attractive aspect of its musical character. For some musicians, the live music capital can also be a velvet rut. The laid-back lifestyle here, something of a trap. This became a serious issue for the band Brazos, or Brazos, as some say. After lots of positive press and opening gigs for bands like The National, Vampire Weekend, and others, the group found itself in a bad place. Or at least that's how bandleader Martin Crane saw it.
Hi, I'm Martin Crane. I am the lead singer and writer in Brazos. I've always made recordings myself since I was, 13 or 14. I'd make an album every, year or so. And Brazos kind of began when I started trying to play music out in public. I write all the songs and write a lot of the arrangement ideas. The test of a good song is like, can you play it on a guitar or like with no accompaniment and it still feels good. So that's kind of where they start. How long till the ranks was won? Well, I'd been in Austin for a long time. I'd been there for 9 years, and I just stopped learning when I was there. I don't know, some kind of switch happened. A lot of my really good friends left, and I just started to become, stagnant. It's easy to kind of hang out, or it was easy for me to just hang out there. New York is kind of, it's just such a beast, You're exposed to so much. Inadvertently, it definitely shook me up in a way that put me back together in a different way. Texans say Brazos, and I think New Yorkers are more inclined to say Brazos, which I prefer that to Brazos. Even though when folks say Brazos, I'm like, it takes me back, The last record that I wrote, the songs were from a place of real security, and it was a kind of these golden years with my friends where nothing really mattered too much, And this record, the stakes are higher for me personally. I think this record, the songs are more about, it's pop music, but it's tormented a little bit. It's unsatisfied. Every phase of tranquility is followed by some kind of questioning as to whether or not that tranquility is real or not,
like a water spout. My darling of the shadow skull, where memory hides, waiting for the sight of
The band is Brazos. The new album set for release next week is titled Saltwater. Robert Ellis used to be a long hair. He also used to live in Houston. He used to hear his parents' music on the radio. In my house, he once told a reporter, there were two kinds of music, country and western. But Ellis is not one to be pigeonholed. He moved to Nashville, but outside, not in town. He cut his hair, got tired of looking like a dirtbag, he says. And musically speaking, well, he rejects labels altogether. For the first time since 2011, Ellis is getting ready to go back into the studio with some new songs. And he let us get a sneak preview the other day, caught live in Studio 1A. This is brand new by Robert Ellis on Texas Music Matters.
Nobody talks too loud in my hometown. Nobody stands too tall for fear of getting knocked down. You just follow straight lines and teach your children how. Well, you just do your job and conceal your doubts. And the flames of hell, they seem so high when I could barely see over the pew. I was just a boy when they told me that lie, but Lord, felt so true. Oh, 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 oh. With one big voice, all the children sang. The grown folks led, and they praised his name. Like an army camp marching off to fight, like a mindless chant will make you right. And that's a hell of a thing to do to a kid, just to teach him right from wrong. You can burn in hell the rest of your days, or you can choose to sing along. Sing along. Thank you.
about the way things end. Or you can sit and wait for the resurrection. But a child believes in whatever they're told. A pillar of flame, a street of gold. And the flames of hell, they seem so high. When I could barely see over the pew, I was just a boy when they told me that lie. But Lord, it felt so true. And that's a hell of a thing to do to a kid, just to teach him right from wrong. You can burn in hell the rest of your days, or you can choose to sing along. Sing along. Sing along. Sing along. Sing along.
Houston native Robert Ellis caught live in our Studio 1A. That new song is titled Sing Along. Ellis says he'll be working on a new album late this summer. Coming up, Is There Life After Lubbock? Also, two of Texas A&M's best-known exports get caught live on Longhorn territory. Lyle Lovett and Robert Earl Keene as Texas Music Matters continues. From Austin, this is Texas Music Matters. I'm David Brown. From Buddy Holly to Lloyd and Natalie Maines and way beyond, the town of Lubbock, Texas has left an outsized mark on American popular music. Funny thing is, though, so many artists who grew up in Lubbock got away as fast as they could, or so they'll tell you. At the end of the day, Lubbock also seems to have a strange, unshakable hold somehow. Next week, some of Lubbock's leading expats take the stage at the Paramount in Austin, asking the question, is there life after Lubbock? Joe Ely and his friends Jason Williams and Joe Carroll Pierce have considered that question for years.
Several years ago, we were out in my backyard and we'd built a little campfire and we were telling stories. And all of the stories kind of gravitated towards West Texas. And as the night went on, the stories got more hilarious. And we knew exactly what the other person was talking about, even though we might not have met those characters. And by the end of the night, we were literally crawling around on the ground by the fire pit in disarray. And Jason just said that we need to do this sometime. We need to just tell these stories sometime.
We're trying to create an atmosphere that's like you're sitting in our living room, and we're just going to sit back and share our history of having grown up out there. You find your art in Lubbock. You're shaped by that part of the world, by the panhandle, by the wind, and by the churches, and by the personalities, and the crazies, because the crazies out there are real crazy, and they're a lot of fun. You get shaped by them, and then you move to Austin. And Austin was always a place that we talked about when we were in Lubbock. You know, when you had a particularly bad spring day or a terribly cold winter day.
We kind of had this thing where the horizon was just pulling us, tugging at us, you know, because there was that flat horizon as far as you could see in every direction. There was something about that emptiness out there that we kind of wanted to fill up, you know, because it was so empty. And a big old song was about the only thing that would fill it up, you know, or a nice melody. Nothing else would, except for maybe a big dust storm or something, you know.
I'm going out where the lights don't shine so bright. I'm going out where the lights don't shine so bright. When I get back, you can treat me like a Saturday night.
Joe Ely, together with Joe Carroll Pierce and Jason Williams, explore the question, Is There Life After Lubbock? A public continuation of what started out as a campfire conversation. It's set for stateside at the Paramount Tuesday night, May 28th. One of the greatest partnerships in the story of Texas music started once upon a time at College Station. One of them had a house on the corner of the Texas A&M campus. The other used to ride past the front porch, hoping for a chance to jump up and swap songs someday. That front porch story is the stuff of legend, of course, and it got a good retelling this week when these two Texas songwriters met up again with Public Radio's Jay Trachtenberg to swap songs in our own Studio 1A on the campus of the University of Texas in Austin. In one chair, Robert Earl Keen, in the other, Lyle Lovett.
What a pretty mystery you suddenly turned out to be. Never held you gently, but I want to. I watch your friends come through the door, and I slide my feet across the floor. There are things I might ask, I don't need to. Can't you tell I'm telling you that I want to understand you? Well, I'm so for sitting, compromising thoughts on what I'm realizing. Ask me what I'm thinking. It's hard to say, 'cause the way I'm reeling, it could be most anything to do with you. Can't you tell I'm telling you that I want to understand you? Some things can remain unsaid now. You don't have to share your bed with me. It's a gentle thing we're making. We got the time for stronger weather. Till we get to know us better, we'll remain suspended. Can't you tell I'm telling you that I want to understand you? Oh. Can't you tell I'm telling you that I want to say I love you?
That was Lyle Lovett, and that was a tune written by Eric Taylor.
Eric Taylor.
From your most recent album, Release Me?
It's called Release Me, yes.
We've heard a lot about how your relationship sort of began on the front porch, on Robert's front porch, and we've heard different versions of that. Is there a definitive version you would like to give our audience?
I think Lyle has the definitive version.
Okay. Well, Lyle?
You know, Robert lived in a house close to school, about as close to school as this beautiful new building is. I guess we're by definition, we are at school, aren't we?
Yep. We're on the campus.
So yes. Not quite that close. But it was very near school, and we were it was the place where everybody hung out. Everybody kept an instrument, and everybody got together. Robert and his roommate, Brian Duckworth, who you may know, were nice enough to let people hang out there at their house even when they weren't there. And so there was always somebody to play a song with. There was always somebody to listen to. And they were very free about their record collection. Robert and Duckworth had a wonderful collection of a great bluegrass record collection. You know, I'd sit there and listen to the Stanley Brothers and the Kentucky Colonels and Bill Monroe records and Norman Blake records started realizing just how difficult it was to play the guitar from listening to those records.
So do you remember the very first time you two kind of crossed paths and recognized each other? And
well, I remember my first memory was Lyle rode his bicycle by our house. Our house really was located just right on the edge of campus, and everybody either parked there or drove by there at one time or another. And Lyle used to ride by on a regular basis. And one time we're sitting out there, you know, spitting snuff and doing whatever we're doing, whatever idiot behavior we've got going. And he rides up on his bicycle and says, hello, I'm Lyle Lovett, and I've heard you guys before. You sound really good. And we go, yeah, right, sure. 10 speed, whatever we wanted to call him. You know, hey, 10 speed, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, this guy's got a lot more on the ball than we do, you know. You guys ought to be nice to him. So he says, hey, can I play a song? And he plays a song. I said, God, a guy that can sing, how fantastic. So it was really memorable for me. And then we became friends, had some classes together, and spent a ton of time together.
We're here live in Studio 1A with Robert Earl Keen and Lyle Lovett. I believe it's your turn, Mr. Okay. Keen.
We were standing on a mountaintop where the cactus flowers grow. I was wishing the world would stop when you said we better go. We took a rowboat across the Rio Grande. Captain Pablo was our guide. For $2 in a weathered hand, he rowed us to the other side. We were dreaming like it was not outside, and we dreamed all afternoon. That's the world awaiting. We gonna celebrate a gringo honeymoon. We stepped out onto the golden sand. The sun was high and burning down. Rented donkeys from an old blind man. Saddled up and rode to town. Tied the donkeys to an ironwood tree by the stream where children played. We went in the first place we could see, serving cold beer in the shade. We were drinking like it was not inside. We drank all afternoon. That's the world wait. We gonna celebrate a gringo honeymoon. Met a cowboy who said that he was running from the DEA. He left his home, his wife and family when he made his getaway. We followed him on down a street of dust to his one-room run-down shack. He blew a smoke ring, then he smiled at us. I ain't never going back. We were flying like it was not inside. It was so that afternoon. That's the a gringo honeymoon. So there's one last place that you should go. He took us to the town's best bar. He knew a crusty caballero who played an old gut string guitar. And he sang like Marty Robbins could, play like no one I've known. For a while we knew that life was good, and it was ours to take back home. We were singing like it was not outside, and we sang all afternoon. That's the world awaiting, we could celebrate a gringo honeymoon. We were standing on a mountaintop where the cactus flowers grow. I was wishing the world would stop when you said, we better go.
Robert Earl Keen and Lyle Lovett caught live in our own Studio 1A with host Jay Trachtenberg.
Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
Texas Music Matters is a production of KUT and KUTX, home of the Austin Music Experience. Our producers include Art Levy, Haley Howell, Paul Karuba, Delaney Hall, Heidi Moagdi, and Tyler Pratt. On behalf of the entire Texas Music Matters team, I'm David Brown, wishing you all the very best from Austin, Texas.